The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Friday, 7th day of December, 2012. Today is National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. I hope you're flying your flag. The Dow is up 32 points. S&P is down 1. The comp is off by 15. Gold is up a buck. Crude is down 11 cents. Apple is down $13 per share today. Today is Pearl Harbor Day. We observe that here in the U.S. on December 7th every year. It honors all of those who died in the attack on Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941. On Sunday morning, December 7th, 1941, America's naval base in Pearl Harbor was attacked by Japan. More than 2,400 Americans were killed. More than 1,100 were wounded. The attack sank 4 U.S. Navy battleships and damaged 4 more. It also damaged or sank 3 cruisers, 3 destroyers, 1 mine layer, and damaged 188 aircraft. The day after the attack, the United States declared war on Japan and entered World War II. President Franklin Roosevelt, in a speech to Congress, stated that the bombing of Pearl Harbor is a date which will live in infamy. And it was the first and last time that an enemy ever snuck up on us until September the 11th. So, So remember those who gave their life on that morning. Most of you have probably seen the movie Pearl Harbor, and as kids growing up, you probably learned about it in school. The chart in front of me is the S&P 500 E-mini futures. If you can't see my chart, go to the homepage of CFRN.net. On the right-hand side, click the red, white, and blue button that says click here. Follow the instructions. You'll be registered to see the charts for the next week. Okay? You won't have to register again until a week from Monday. One click will get you in every day. But you do have to do that registration today if you've not already done it. So that's for anybody that may be new in the audience. This morning, price ran from the weekly trading zone at 1408/1409 all the way up to 1421-1422, weekly trading zone. High of the week so far, back on Monday, the 1421-22 weekly trading zone. We then traded the week centered around the 08-09 area that I have highlighted there. And then this morning we shot up, and in just 1 hour we got from 1409 to 1421. Or was that just an hour? That's an hourly candle, so it must be an hour. It must have taken an hour to get from here to here, right? Because that's an hourly candle. Well, sometimes things are not as they appear. Let's go to a 30-minute candle. You mean it made it all the way up there in 30 minutes? Wow. Really? Things aren't always as they appear. Let's go to 15 minutes. Ah, come on. You're going to tell me the price went from 1408/1409 all the way to 1421.22 in just 15 minutes? Well, things are not as they... Things are not always... Objects may be larger than they appear in the mirror. Let's go to 10 minutes. It did it in 10 minutes? Let's try 5. Oh my goodness, it did it in 5 minutes? Or did it? You gotta be kidding. 3 minutes. Really? We finally figured it out. Using a 2-minute chart, we can see that it took 2 candles to make the entire trip. If we go back to the 3-minute candle, we can see 3 minutes from 08 to 0. And that's on the news that we have this really great unemployment rate that won't be revised until sometime after the beginning of the new year, I suppose. Isn't that how they do it, Michael?
That's exactly how they do it.
All right. So we'll punch this back out to an hourly. So now I want you to think about this. You're looking at an hourly candle, and it's only natural that the eye would say, over the course of the hour, price went from 1408.09 weekly zone up to 2122. But as we dig beneath the surface, we see that it actually did it in 3 minutes. The rest of the time was just kind of spent languishing up here before the next hour started, and we began the road trip back down to 1408-1409. Now, on the way back down, it took 1, 2, 3 hours, and we got within 2 ticks. Remember, weekly trading zones are an area, okay? And so we got within 2 ticks, put in a pretty good bounce. Now we're waiting to see what's going to happen next. We have a call here for lower prices. We'll see. We've had lower prices from here down to here, certainly lower. The only question is, will they go lower? And we'll talk about that as we wind our way through the show today. Robin will be in later than normal. David, of course, will be with us towards the bottom of the hour here, thereabouts, from pagetrader.com. Michael will be going over the recap from the live trading room this morning. And then at 1 p.m. Eastern, today will be the first edition, the first official edition of the Coach's Corner. So the radio program may end a little before 1. In fact, it probably will end before 1 Eastern today. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave this webinar open Okay, so you can just leave this open on your screen and then come back at 1 Eastern and spend 30 minutes with us for the Coach's Corner. Today, Robin's going to talk about overcoming the Superman Syndrome, I believe is the correct title. If not, she'll correct me on that when she comes in. But there's going to be open discussion. After she speaks for a few minutes, there'll be question and answer session. So if you have any questions about your trading, and I know that some of you do really good in the simulator, and then as soon as you go into a live market, somehow the market realizes that you switched from the sim to the live market, and suddenly it's no longer your friend, it's out to get you. And I know that's how it feels. Trust me, I know. Not because I read it in a book, because I lived through it. If you're experiencing, that's just one of the things you might be experiencing of a psychological nature when it comes to trading, making that transition from sim to live. Why don't you come for the Coach's Corner today, and if that is your question, you can ask Robin, and if you have any other question that has to do with the psychology of trading, she'll be here to answer those questions. Real quick, in other headlines today, interesting in China, the iPad Mini was launched today in China. Now, the folks in China, along with working very hard in the factories to make the Apple devices that we love so much, they themselves love Apple products. Droves of consumers typically line up to get their hands on the latest devices every time the company releases a new model in the country. But according to reports this morning, the iPad Mini launch failed to bring out the crowds. IDG News Service is reporting that the turnout for the debut of Apple's 7.9-inch tablet in China was minimal. Even in highly trafficked areas, such as Apple's new flagship store in Beijing, the report said the lines were nearly non-existent. Now, the Beijing store opened its doors at 9 a.m. to consumers who had made a reservation online to buy the iPad Mini in the store. So you get this, you got to go online to make a reservation to buy it in the store. Okay? Here's the rub. At 9 a.m., only 4 shoppers showed up at the store. And you're not going to believe what happened. But the 4 people who did show up to buy an iPad Mini at Beijing's flagship store this morning were turned away because they had not made a reservation online.
Oh!
That's what I'm talking about. Will the iPhone 5 attract more consumers than the iPad Mini in China? Boy, Apple better hope so. Because they were gambling hard that, you know, China, there's like a lot of people there. And if each one of them bought one Apple device, gosh, that would be a lot. I don't know, a billion or so. Now, the iPhone 5 goes on sale next week, so we'll see. Maybe the love affair is over. Is it possible? Gold. Now, Goldman Sachs came out earlier this week and said the bull market in gold is over, done, finished, the top is in, all of that kind of stuff. They said we're done with it. Morgan Stanley came out with a very different report yesterday. Hussein, I can't even pronounce his last name, is making the exact opposite call that Damian Corvallon over at Goldman Sachs made. Hussein at Morgan Stanley says, "We maintain our longstanding recommendation of overweight exposure to precious metals as conditions underpinning the gold bull run largely remain in place. He also likes silver, but is most bullish on gold." Now, his reasons: weaker U.S. dollar, central bank buying, ETF demand. He probably doesn't know the ETFs don't really have to buy any gold. I should send him a memo. And recovery in Indian demand. Some of you might not know that your gold ETF doesn't really have to own gold, but that's another story that we've already done a bunch of times. So I won't go into that today. If you have a question, you can email me, support@cfrn.net. Hillary could be the strongest front runner in Democratic primary history. Now, we don't know whether or not she's going to run for the presidency in 2016, but she would be, without a doubt, the strongest non-incumbent front runner in modern history. She's already polling at a record 61% in the early primary field. I know what you're thinking. What? We haven't even had the inauguration yet. I know. These guys really like to look ahead. They use a much larger time frame than we do. Now, I'm quoting from an article where the author went into the Roper archives to examine races where no incumbent was running for re-election and only Al Gore at around 55% in early 1997 for the 2000 run comes anywhere close. And that's the fact that she is polling already at a record 61% in the early primary field. George H.W. Bush polled at around 40% at this point in the 88 cycle. Bob Dole was near 50% in 96, and George W. Bush was between 20 and 25% in 2000. Some might be tempted to say that Clinton is only where she is at because she's holding a high-end nonpartisan position, Secretary of State. Colin Powell, a candidate who also held a high-end nonpartisan position, was in the mid-20s at this point for a 1996 run and mid-30s for 2000. Many say that she is on her way to winning the endorsement primary. She has organization in the early primary states. She isn't going to make an idiotic statement. A lot of candidates with a lot of promise enter the race with high polling numbers yet fail miserably as candidates. Rick Perry most recently entered the 2012 Republican race with solid polling numbers and much media hoopla. Unfortunately for Perry, he started to speak. Ted Kennedy suffered a similar fate in 1980. Clinton is no rookie. Anyone who watched the 2008 debates will tell you that despite having been in the line of fire throughout the primary, Clinton never made a statement that ruined her candidacy. In fact, outside of one comment about undocumented immigrants and driver's license at a late October 2007 debate, Clinton was a top debater during the 2008 primary season. She's got the demographics on her side. She's got the women's vote. She has the African-American vote. They know how to raise a lot of money. And everybody has a forgiven Bill, and they admire her because she forgave Bill. This just out from the U.S. government, we will live past 2012. Various doomsday scenarios, including a meteor strike and the end of the Mayan calendar, indicate that the world will end on December 21, 2012. The rumors, while baseless, have compelled some Americans to go to extreme lengths like stockpiling food and building bomb shelters to prepare for the coming apocalypse. Even the Australian Prime Minister has bought into the madness. In an attempt to exterminate the hysteria, the USA.gov website published a blog post on Monday stating that the world will not end on December 21st, 2012, or any day in 2012. Whew. Confirmation that we'll all live to see another Christmas and New Year's Day follows a bunch of videos and articles put out by NASA debunking the end of the world scenario. There's only one thing that will definitely happen on December 21st, and it's not the destruction of our planet, according to NASA. Turns out that a lot of unnecessary panic stems from a misinterpretation of the Mayan calendar. Just as the calendar you have on your kitchen wall does not cease to exist after December 31st, the Mayan calendar does not cease to exist on December 21st, 2012. This date is the end of the Mayan long count period, but then, just as your calendar begins again on January 1, another long count period begins for the Mayan calendar, and it goes well beyond 2012. And that's from NASA. On the other side of the political aisle, it appears that Marco Rubio will be the early Republican frontrunner for 2016. In a crowded field for the nomination, Rubio garners 18% of the vote among Republicans surveyed. All right, now, on the Democratic side, I just told you Hillary's got 61% in early numbers. Rubio is leading the other side of the aisle with 18%. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has 16%. Florida Governor Jeb Bush and former vice presidential nominee Paul Ryan each are polling at 12%. The polls suggest that Rubio is popular with the party's conservative base, while Christie earns more support from the moderates. But PPP Director Tom Jensen writes that there just weren't that many moderates left in the Republican Party. And speaking of parties, what's the Tea Party going to do without any Mint? I mean, what's tea without Mint? Right, Michael? You like
Absolutely.
A little Mint in your tea?
Yes,
well,
of course.
Well, we all know DeMint is leaving the Tea Party, and he's headed over to the Heritage Foundation where he can make some real money. That's what he's looking for. Oh, and by the way, speaking of Congress, did you know if they serve just one term, just one term, that their pension for life is in excess of $15,000 a month? Did you know that?
I knew it was excessive. I didn't realize it was $15,000 a month. But
they told me that going to college might be a good idea when I was a kid. Actually, no one really told me that. I grew up in a small town. No one had that high of an aspiration. But the recruiter did tell me it would be a good idea to go in the military. Nobody ever said, hey, you should run for Congress. You know, if you can just land the job, even if you totally mess it up, and at the end of your term you get fired, you get a pretty good deal for life. Man, I wish somebody had told me. I'm going to start grooming my son. He's only 10, okay? But I'm going to try to have him in Congress by the time he's, you know, 25, and then I can live off of him, you know? So that's my window of opportunity. I got 15 years to work with there. All right, that's it. That's all I got, guys. Price is just kind of hanging out right here in between the zones. We got 1516 overhead, 0809 below. On the daily chart, this is what we're looking at right here. We talked about this at great length last night, the potential for this thing to shoot up and then come back. And if we get a bearish close on the day, then we're going to look for lower prices on the Globex open Sunday night. If by chance we can close above the CFMA1 today, that changes the picture. But if we close anywhere near where we are now or lower, that sets a very bearish tone for the Globex open Sunday night. So, Michael, it's all yours.
All right. Let me grab the charts, and we'll go over our trades.
I see your message about Robin's webinar today. I don't know that we'll be utilizing any charts, so I'll just record it as a separate podcast.
All right. Perfect. All right, everybody.
Hey, I got your charts.
Excellent. Let me slide this over here and this down here. Soybeans just had a huge run up there just a minute ago. Just point that out. All right, here we go. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Friday, December 7th, 2012. Let's see the results for the morning. We were down 9 ticks on gold, down 3 ticks on the NQ, and up 13 ticks on crude oil. Ended up a positive day, just a little bit. It was a little bit tough trading this morning for me. I didn't take all that many trades altogether. But I will go over the trades that I did take. I took a trade on soybeans here. You can see I missed this huge opportunity here during the break. Right after the break, we had this big move up on soybeans. The last trade that I did take on soybeans was right here. I went long, and it gave, I don't know, gave 4 or 5 ticks profit, and then I moved my stop up to break even, and it came back and took me out of break even. I did take another trade on soybeans, I thought I shorted on soybeans this morning, too. I was pretty sure I shorted over here somewhere in soybeans this morning after the open, but maybe I didn't. Anyway, I'm break even on the soybeans. Now, what we're looking for on these trades, right here, guys, you get a bullish cross of the MA1 over the BBC, a pullback down to the BBC, test of the BBC, and then an up close if you have bullish divergence on the slingshot. All right. If you don't have divergence on the slingshot, or if you don't test the BBC and price is trending up, I draw a trend line down the tops as price is approaching the BBC. You know, it's the market moves in legs, up, down, up, down, up, down. If it's trending up, the up legs are going to be longer than the down legs. If it's trending down, the down legs are going to be longer than the up legs. Kirk, I don't know if there's an open mic somewhere. There, on my end, there is only one mic, so I'm sure it's not on my end. Anyway. What you would look for, you could have entered right here on the up close above this trend line because it didn't pull all the way back down to the BBC. The ideal entry would be right here on this up close. All right, take some profit. Could enter it again right here or just stay in the trade. You could have entered it again right here or right here or right here. Okay. Now, over here where it started to pull back down toward the BBC, we never got an up close above the trend line. I had drawn this trend line in when this bar was created. But now you can see that trend line, as it approached the BBC, would have to go like that. It never got an up close. Right here where we are right now, you have bearish divergence right there, testing the BBC, so you could just short a down close right here. If it were to close down, you could just short a down close. Okay. That is the soybeans. I didn't trade anything on the ES this morning. I didn't even have a YM chart up this morning. I did highlight on the Euro, this area right here. Again, you're looking at the same exact thing that we were just looking at on the soybeans. You get your bullish cross, your test of the BBC, and an up close if you have bullish divergence. If you don't have bullish divergence, then you need to close above the trend line. Okay, I had drawn this trend line in here. There was a close above it. We did have bullish divergence, but the cycle portion of the slingshot was headed down just a little bit right here when you got the up close. So if you wanted to be more conservative and wait for the close above the trend line, it was right in there. All right. This second move right over here, it was an attempt to pull back down to the BBC. We didn't have divergence, and it didn't pull all the way to the BBC. You could have gotten in right there on that one. All right. And that was the Euro. On the NQ, let's see. Let me minimize that. I know I took some trades over here on the NQ this morning. There we go. The first trade I took on the NQ lost. Okay, there were a couple of opportunities in here that I did not take. A couple more that I did, but... All right, right here. Again, you're looking for the close down below that trend line. It was right in there. You could have gotten short right there. You could have gotten short right in here. There was some bearish divergence right here, so you could have gotten short right here above the trend line, looking for the close down below it. Right there. Okay. And right over there, and I did actually get short over here, took a little bit of profit, then I got short again. Actually, the first one was a break even, and the second one, actually, it looks like both of those are break even. I didn't take profit. Yeah, that one I shorted there, got break even there, then I shorted it again here, and I got break even there. Right over here, we had a close down below the trend line, and it dropped a little bit. I didn't take that trade. There were more opportunities in here, as you can see. Right in here, I drew all these trend lines, though I did not take the trades. Okay, right in there, we had close above the trend line. Over here, we had a close above the trend line. Over here, we had a close above the trend line. Over here, we had a close above the trend line, and that one didn't really go anywhere. Now, last night in the partners meeting, I had gone through great pains to get some drawings that I made showing how this could be seen or identified as topping action. And when you see that it doesn't put in the higher swing, and the cycle is red and headed down, that this could be topping right here, and you could be changing directions, right? That is, in fact, what happened here. This was the top. Turned around, came back down. Could have shorted right in there. You could have shorted. I actually did short right over here, and I stopped out of that one. I shorted over here and took some profit. Shorted here and took some profit. Went long over here and took some profit. How did I end up minus three ticks? I think I had two losing trades, right? I missed this one here. There was no opportunity in here. And you can see I missed a bunch more in here. You know, if you're... I recommend this to everyone who becomes a partner, or who's even considering becoming a partner. Okay, I'll be quick then, Dwayne. I'll be quick. Anyone who's considering being a partner, you should trade one market or two markets. Don't try to trade all the markets that I trade. You know, I'm doing this for the benefit of all of our partners that are in the live trading room. If you were to just focus on this market alone this morning, you would have had a very nice day. All right. As it stands, I did not have a great day on the NQ because I only traded about, you know, 10% of the trades that were available. Let's see. That was the NQ. What else did I trade? I traded crude. I'll show you crude really quick. I'm going to be quick because I think we have, Ben in the audience here. All right. My first trade on crude was a losing trade. My next trade was a break-even trade after that. It's all the same things on the four-tick range charts. You're using the same exact setups, the same exact indicators. You're doing the same exact thing over and over and over again. All right. Bearish cross. Closed down below that trend line. I got short. There was another opportunity there. Right in here, I took a short off of the yellow brick road. It stopped me out. I made it back right here on a long trade. Made some profit right there on the short trade. I'm going to break even over here on the short trade. Profit, profit. And that brings us into the break. Now, there were a bunch of opportunities. You see all these lines that I drew on here? Those were all opportunities to take trades, okay? All opportunities to take trades. I didn't take the trades. I probably drew the lines on right after they had happened. I had probably just missed the trades, okay? But those are all opportunities to take the trades. All right, with that, I'm going to wrap it up here because I know we've got a lot of stuff going on today. If you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for the free trial. In the free trial, you get access to everything you see here and 5 days in our 5 business days in our live trading room. If you're on the free trial and you want to become a partner and you don't know how to become a partner, just send me a quick email at support@cfrn.net. Just say partner info in it, and we will send you off the information as quickly as we can. All right. With that, I am going to wrap it up right here, and there, recording's done. Okay.
Okay, I don't know if, if Ben's still there or not. Ben, are you there? Yeah, he must have took off. He dinged my phone, but a little earlier than normal, so. Ben, are you there? Okay, okay. I guess he's gone. So did you already end the recording?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Did you get a chance to cover everything you wanted to cover?
Yeah, I covered, well, I covered all the markets that I traded, right? I did gold, the NQ, and crude oil, and soybeans.
Since Ben's not here, if there's something else you want to look at, go ahead.
Let's see, I did do gold, right? Actually, I don't think I did do gold. Let's just show gold, okay? It's not going on the recording, but it's all the same stuff on the gold. Let's see, here was the open. Here was a nice opportunity here to get long. Another one right there to get long. A smaller one over here to get long. Over here to get short. Over here again to get short. Over here I got long and stopped out. Over here was another one to get long. This one right here I got long and took a break even. Just flipping through it right here, you can see that the same thing's happening over and over and over and over again. The market moves in legs, guys. It goes up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. I drew a whole bunch of things and made some charts last night by hand in the partners meeting. If any partners that wanted those are out there and I didn't send them to you, you can type in here that you want to see them, and I will send them off to you, or just send me an email. at support@cfrn.net, and I will send those copies off to you. All right. That's it. That's all I really wanted to do. It's the same stuff over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. You can see right in here there was shorting opportunity. Right in here you didn't have any opportunity. It's starting to go flat right in here, but shorting opportunity right in here. Long opportunity right in here. Long opportunity over here. Now, when I say opportunity, what I mean is you get your bullish cross like this. Price comes down. Attempts to hit the BBC. If you have divergence, that's great. If you don't have divergence, you just need to get that close on the other side of the trend line. Okay? Okay, Pete. If anybody asks for it. All right. That's it. That's all I wanted to show. That was the gold, the crude oil, the Russell. I didn't take any trades on the Russell this morning, though I did prep for it. Yes, I will. I will send it off to you right now. Okay. All right. Does anybody have any questions about any of this? Anybody else have any questions? Robert, are you out there right now? You just texted me.
Is who out there?
He's not. I don't see him.
Okay. Robert. All right, so we ready to go to Vegas?
Yep, let's head out to Vegas.
All right, guys, I know Michael already told you, but you can take the free trial by going to cfrn.net/apply. Here's the deal. Today's Friday. If you sign up for the free trial today, it's not going to cut a day off of the free trial. You'll still get 5 days in the live trading room. That'll be next Monday through Friday. The benefit of getting signed up today is you can get your charts up and running today. Get your live data flowing today. Get your indicators installed and indicating today. That's right. We let you use our indicators. We teach you how to use our indicators for a full week just so you can make a reasonable determination as to whether or not you should become a CFRN partner. Okay? So you go to that web page I just gave you, cfrn.net/apply, put in your name, your email address, no credit card required. You'll get a confirmation email. You got to click the confirmation link. Okay, if it doesn't show up in your inbox in 5 minutes, check your spam folder, check your promotions folder, check your bulk folder. Wherever your email client likes to hide stuff, go look there. Click the link. You'll then get another email that gives you all the information on how to download the platform, what number to call if you need any help. Bert is standing by all afternoon. He'll be happy to walk you through. Make sure you get your charts up and going before the weekend. Now, over the weekend, you get the opportunity to, when the markets aren't moving, but you have historical data to work with, to roll up your sleeves and start looking at different markets. Gold, crude, soybeans, E-minis, whatever market you fancy. You get to look at it in different time frames, 1 minute, 10 minutes, an hour, daily, weekly, whatever time frame you like to trade in. And then you get to put our indicators on those charts and see how you would be able to trade those markets. By the time Monday morning rolls around and the markets open and the live trading room opens, you've got a list of really good questions. Hey, what does this thing do? How do I use this? What does that mean? And we'll be there Monday morning when the markets open to answer all of those questions for you. And that journey begins when you go to cfrn.net/apply. For a couple hours last night, I had the radio stream working on the iPhone, the iPad. It was in ACC format, and it will be in the future. I'm just testing it now. I had to install a new server and get that rolling, and it worked out fine, but I have to get the new player installed because the new format didn't work well with the Windows Media Player, and I know a lot of you have used that in the past to listen to the radio stream. What will happen, hopefully by Monday, is when you go to launch the radio, instead of using a player on your computer, such as QuickTime or Windows Media, the player will actually reside on our website. So whether you're on a Windows computer, a Mac, you know, a tablet, a smartphone, iOS, Android, doesn't matter. One click, it'll just work. So I'm looking forward to getting that done, and I know that many of you who've had issues in the past are looking forward to that as well. So you may wake up to a surprise on Monday morning. I'll be working all weekend to try and get that done just for you. Okay, we're going to pause for a brief station identification. We'll be right back with David Williams from PageTrader.com. Don't touch that radio dial.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Morning, Wayne.
David, good morning. Happy Friday to you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy Friday to you. Happy Friday to all the listeners. And happy Friday to Michael as well. And Robin's not with us this morning, but she will be here later for Coach's Corner.
She will be here later. Yes, that is correct.
Okay, beautiful. I like the name of that, Coach's Corner. That sounds pretty good.
I think it's good. I think it's good.
Yes, good morning, Rob.
David. Good morning, Michael.
Yeah, Robin's not there.
Robin's not there. I know.
Not yet.
How are we going to make it through the day without her? I don't know.
Well, we only have to do it.
We just have to do it.
16 minutes. 16 minutes.
You know, I just want to say about Robin, a couple things about her. I didn't know Robin when she started on the program. And I've gotten to know her. I've had a number of lunches with her. She lives here in Las Vegas as well. And I went from, you know, sort of mildly interested in seeing what she's been doing and where she's been and all that, to getting a better feel for what she knows. And, you know, I've been more impressed by what she knows and what she's able to respond to. And I think that's the thing that I've picked up from her, is that when you interact with her talking about the subject matter of the whole business of psychology and trading, that's when you might get a hint that she knows a little more than she might come across as at first. And so over time, that has impressed me. And I'm saying that because it's the fact. You know, I think she can do some good. I think she can help some people. And if you have an interest in taking a look at her approach on trading psychology, she is a trading coach. She's been around it. Take some time and go to the Coach's Corner. Take a look at what she's giving you and see if it's something that might be beneficial. Often just thinking about something that somebody has said, even though it may not be something that you would necessarily think applies to you or it doesn't really bother you, just thinking about it can get a ball rolling in the right direction. So it's good to expose yourself to various different things. As a matter of fact, you'll find that as people get older, they tend to want to expose themselves less and less to new things. And this is the world starts to shrink for the elderly. Have you seen that? And that's not true in every case, but in many cases, the elderly have less and less interest in what's going on out there, less and less interest in what's new and different, and they're just sticking with a smaller and smaller amount of information, perhaps because it gets harder to hold on to information, and also because our minds tend to do this anyway. You tend to want to focus on what you understand, and you get tired of looking
at something new and having to process it. You don't have the same interest as you did when you were young and the world was, you know, bigger than the universe to you. I remember when I was young, I had to do a report on Nigeria. And so in order to do a report, you read books on Nigeria and so on, and then you write your report. And I remember thinking that Nigeria, to me back then at that age, 9, 10, 11, 12, Nigeria was millions of miles away. I mean, it might as well have been in another universe. I was living in Northridge, California in the San Fernando Valley. Some of you might know that area. And that just seemed like it was a million miles away. Now, the world's a whole lot smaller, isn't it? And I think you see people getting children coming up in this world. Things aren't so far away to them. They're, you know, say the word Africa or Nigeria to a child, and they don't, you know, 7, 8 years old, they've been on the internet. The world has shrunk. It is not the same because knowledge has taken over. We have much more accessibility and so on and so on. So isn't it interesting that, you know, we're each new generation has a broader perspective, and if we're going to end up with, by going to outer space and doing all these things, having absolutely, you know, the world itself is going to be like a little dot because people are going to be talking about what's going to seem far away is planets that are out of our solar system, and it just keeps going on and on. But anyway, it's a good idea to expose yourself to new ideas. Don't be afraid. You don't have to take it all in. You don't have to be afraid that you won't understand and so on. Just take a shot at it. Expose yourself to some new ideas. They might be useful to you. And, you know, Robin didn't ask me to say any of this. Just making sure people know.
It's very nice of you to say.
Yeah. Just because, you know, I was thinking about her the other day, and she's made a couple of comments over the time, and I've seen it repeatedly, that I think she has something going on. And I'm expressing that I think she can do some good. And trading psychology is a subject that is individual for each person. You find your own way, but there can be some very good cornerstones that can help you find your way down that road and keep your head together so that you can really continue to get it right. You know, have you ever had those days or those moments where you suddenly have your own inner vision is very clear and you know exactly what you need to do, and it's like, wow, this is so clear, I got it. And you don't even feel like you have to write anything down at all because it's so clear to you. And then 15 minutes later, it isn't quite as clear, and an hour later, you practically, you know, you're struggling to find out where you were an hour ago, where that vision was. And so what I do often is with a cell phone, or if I have to, I'll write it down on a piece of paper. But if I have those clear moments, meaning that I see something very clearly, understand something very clearly, I always write it down because I found out that I can lose it just as miraculously as it appeared. It shows up in your mind. It's so clear you think, nope. I'll never have any trouble remembering that. And suddenly, an hour later, you do have trouble remembering that. It could be about any subject. It doesn't have to be about trading. It could be an understanding about between you and another person. It could be a life understanding. It could be something about yourself. But write it down. I found that to be very useful because it's very frustrating to try to find your way back to the open space that an insight gives you. So you'll have other ones if you did lose some. I've lost a number of them in my life, you know, where you have them and you don't write them down, and they can be very useful. And then later, when you're having a particularly dull day, you can flip through your written list of these things, and it can help you get right back on track. It's very, very effective. So just mentioning that because it's been useful to me. Anyway, so here we are. We're Friday. We're in the month of December. Christmas is here. I've mentioned so many times on the program, I happen to just have a thing for Christmas. I love it. Part of what I love about it, I think, is the cold outside. Everyone's bundled up. Everyone looks real cozy in their little coats and jackets, and they're all inside the malls doing something nice for somebody else, which is very nice. We're thinking about other people and wanting to make somebody else happy. And that's a really, really nice thing. You know, just the simplest thing. Just, you know, I'd like to see somebody else smile. I'd like to give them something that makes them happy. And we do want to buy gifts for people. You know, if you care about somebody, you want to buy something that they'll reuse. So you don't want to buy something that they just put down. You've noticed for yourself that those kinds of gifts, you don't even remember who gave it to you. But if it is something, you know what I'm saying? I mean, somebody gives you something, and it's like, well, here's a corn tiller that you can use in your backyard. It's like, well, we don't, you know, we never do that. You never remember who that was. But if you care for somebody, you do end up wanting to buy something that is, you take some thought and take some time and you look around. And one of my suggestions is, if you want some good gift ideas, believe it or not, is go to high-end stores. Those stores like Bloomberg or Bloomingdale's, what are some of the other high-end stores? You know,
Nordstrom,
thank you, a store that we have out here that I love. Go to these high-end stores because these places do take the time to think through what the useful gifts are. See, they know what they're doing. They charge more money, and I'm not saying necessarily buy directly from them. But what they're doing for you and for me, especially because we're talking mostly to men, and there's plenty of women that trade, but in my business of doing this for the last 12 years as page trader, I would say that less than 3% of our customers have been women. So it's a small percentage, but right. My point is this, speaking to everybody, that the stores go to great lengths, the high-end stores, to figure out what the really useful, nice gifts are. You don't have to think that through as much. They'll do that, and they'll have those gifts on display. Maybe you can find that same thing somewhere else for less money, but if you go into a high-end store, Bloomingdale's, we have that out here. They have all kinds of neat little coffee and mocha makers and little neat things for the kitchen that you'd never think about, but things they have thought about. They've thought it through. It'll give you some great ideas. Maybe you just end up buying it right then and there, and maybe you do spend a little more than you know you thought you might need to. But if you do care for the person, giving a nice gift is a huge satisfaction. You know, isn't it? Isn't it nice to give something and you know that they really like it? Several years ago, I gave a few people I forgot what the name of it was, but it was a home coffee unit that uses these little prepackaged things. You're seeing more of this now.
Keurig.
But this was what's that?
The Keurig.
Yeah, but in that, and it's hotter now. But back a couple years ago, it was starting out. It wasn't quite so new with the little cups. You know, they're like sealed, and you just drop the sealed cup in. You close the lid, and the machine itself opens the cup and puts the product in your glass, and it all gets done automatically. Well, years go by, and I still get a phone call from people saying, you know what, I'm still using the gosh darn coffee thing you got me 2 years ago, and that's a nice gift. It really ended up being a wonderful gift for these people. You want to give it to somebody who drinks coffee, but it worked out very well. And so while I've been at these stores, I noticed, God, these stores have some great gifts. Well, that's because they think it through. That's how they got to be big, high-end stores, is they have professional buyers, professional thinkers, people who are picking the really good gifts. So instead of sitting at home and worrying about what are you going to buy somebody and trying to think about it, I'm telling you, go to the high-end stores. They've thought it out. You'll find a really great gift. Now, isn't that a great gosh darn suggestion? Don't you think?
And, you know, second to a coffee maker, probably I would, you know, the only thing that comes to mind is a really nice pillow.
That's another good one. Great suggestion. A really nice pillow is another one. And, you know, Tempur-Pedic makes a number of pillows that you could investigate. You may have the Relax the Back store in your area. You can go to the high-end stores, too, and they have really nice pillows. You know, a lot of people, Duane, speaking of these pillows and beds, you would think that the spring mattress had died. You know, the mattresses with springs in them, and because there's so many different alternatives now, they have the gel bed, the bed that's made out of some kind of gel that they use. I don't know what they use it for, but it's used in hospitals for people who have very sensitive skin or have maybe they've been burned or something. And then you have
the
air mattress.
Yeah.
That one is out here. Then you have the air mattress, and the air mattress is can't think of the name of the product right now. But it's the air mattress bed, not just a bed that you throw on the floor, but it's a whole nice bed that has the sleep number bed.
Oh, the sleep
and
bed.
The sleep number bed, and that's that. And then you have the water bed we talked about yesterday, which I don't believe you can walk into any store and buy one. But I'll, you know, whatever. Then what else do we have? Then you have Tempur-Pedic. So you have four different kinds of alternative beds that are out there. Maybe more. Somebody can help on that. and you'd think the spring mattress had died. But the truth of the matter is that spring mattresses have gotten even better. And so if you're considering looking at beds, not necessarily to buy somebody for a gift, but you go look around. The people that make these spring mattress beds are working on clever ideas and different things, and those beds have gotten better as well. The state of the art in spring mattresses has gotten much better. So don't be thinking that the spring mattress bed has died yet. It hasn't. And high-end stores like the Bloomingdale's and some of these others will have nice high-end pillows. Another suggestion with regard to Dwayne's suggestion, if you stay at a hotel and you say, gosh, you know, that was a really nice bed, or that was really nice covers, or that was really nice pillows, everything was nice. Many hotels now sell all of that stuff. They don't sell it, obviously, right out of the room because it's been used, but you can buy it through the hotel. They'll give you a link, and you can go to that and buy that. So if you've slept at a hotel or are going to and really like something that they have, you can buy that as a gift as well for somebody, a pillow like Dwayne suggested, which I think is a great idea. Pillows are the kinds of things that if somebody really likes it, they're going to use that. Somebody you care for, you want to give them something nice. So the pillow, a few other suggestions, but check out the high-end stores because they've done the thinking and they know all the different angles on it. And that's how they got to be able to be in the position where they charge a premium and so on for these products, because they're finding the right products that people go, ooh, that's good, you know, and they pick it up. Even something as simple as knowing somebody's cologne or their aftershave or finding a nice cologne for somebody is nice. But check the stores out. Christmas is coming, and you know, I've got to do my shopping as well and try to. I have a limited number of people in my life that I, you know, are close to me that I'd like to buy something nice for, and I'm going to go to those stores and see if I can follow my own suggestion and buy something that makes them happy. And it's a wonderful feeling. That's one of the things I like about Christmas time is people are out there bundled up doing nice things for other people. And so there's my little discourse on Christmas. How are you doing?
That was good.
Oh, yeah.
David's Guide to Gift-Giving.
What's that, Dwayne?
I said David's Guide to Gift-Giving. We'll make that a
standalone
podcast.
There you are. Well, I've struggled with it for years. I never know what to buy people, and the big stores have helped me out. And I told you my story about Nordstrom's and how I, you know, really realized what great things they're doing. I've mentioned it before, but Nordstrom's doesn't have a return policy. That means you can go in wearing clothes you didn't even buy there, and I don't suggest that you do this repeatedly, but if you purchase from them, they'll credit you for clothes that are worn out or whatever that you're wearing, and they'll do that at any time. If you buy clothes from Nordstrom that you wear for 6 months and decide you don't like it or don't like the way it fits, you come back in, you don't even have to have your receipt. This isn't something to take advantage of. This is something that's just nice to know that they believe in their customer base and they're willing to completely eliminate any fool around on the return policy. You just walk back in and say, you know, this shirt, it didn't really fit. You might have worn it for 6 months or even a year. They just take it back. They'll either credit your card or they'll give you an equal credit on purchasing a new thing. No questions asked, nothing. And I really like that. That's very nice because if you have trouble with a pair of shoes or boots or clothes, pants, shirt, and you bring it back, the first question is, where's your receipt? And unless you happen to be a person who's really meticulous about your receipts, you don't have your receipt. So Nordstrom's doesn't care. They get to know you. You know a certain person in there. You start using that person, and they know you, and they do a really good job of it. And they're very good at knowing when people are trying to take advantage of their system. But if you're just an ordinary person, they'll do anything for you. They really will. It's a very, very well-run store, and I appreciate it. And I don't want to waste money, but when I think to myself I need some new clothes, I go right over there because I know they take very good care of you, and it doesn't matter what you buy. Their return policy is infinite. It doesn't really matter. So you really can't go wrong with them. So check that out. If you're going to look for a new coat or something, it's cold out or whatever, go check out what they have. I really like that store. Not that anybody asked, but I'm just saying that's something, you know, us men, the cavemen, we don't know what to do when it comes to buying clothes, many of us. And then there are the men who do know what to do, like the Michael Borks. They know how to dress. They know how to polish up real pretty. Like, they know how to buy the Berber jackets and the nice little things and all the little accoutrements. You think, what? How do you know to do that? You know, how do you know to do that, Michael?
Years of prep school.
Prep school. That'll do it.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. You get prep. So
that's it.
You've been prepped for life. Anyway, so all of that stuff has never meant anything to me. But I noticed the other day I was at a restaurant, a breakfast restaurant I was eating, and a gentleman came in and he had a Burberry. If any of you, many even know what Burberry is, but it's a kind of a material that... And I thought to myself, well, he's dressed up very nice. That was my first impression right off my mind. And then I looked at what he was wearing, and I realized that's the stuff they sell at Nordstrom's. That's the stuff. That's how you look nice. If you want to look nice, you know. So anyway, most men have to have their girlfriends or their wives with them to go shopping and get it right. But the high-end stores like Nordstrom and some of these other ones have really skilled people working there that know how to do the right thing for men and get them dressed up so they look nice. So that's the other thing for Christmas and for whatever. So anyway, I hope those are some good suggestions. And Dwayne, if there's nothing in the news, we can get right on to the markets, take a look at
well, and for those
each market,
who are still
flip
struggling
on through and see if there's something interesting that we can put together here.
For those who are still struggling with that Christmas, that perfect Christmas gift, you could get them a water bed.
You could get them a water bed, but I would...
At Sam's Club, at the Waterbed City, at Oasis Bedrooms, at the Waterbed Outlet.
I'll believe it when I see it. And listen, you better be careful.
If you'll look at your screen, you can...
I am looking at my screen.
Oh, so you don't believe it?
Yeah, I don't know where that place is. It just looks like a bunch of words to me.
Sam's
Put it this way. I have never seen a waterbed. I haven't seen a physical waterbed in 20 years. I've walked in a lot of bed places, mattress stores, high-end stores. I have not seen a waterbed in 20 years. It's actually physically been in a place. Maybe we just don't have them here in Las Vegas.
I think you have Sam's Club there.
We do have Sam's Club here, but I've been in Sam's Club. I'm a member of, what's the other one, Costco?
It says right here, Sam's Club, beds and waterbeds.
Yeah, maybe they're making a comeback, and I'm just a little slow on the curve there.
I don't think they're they're certainly not, you know, popular like they were back in the 70s.
You have to be careful who you buy it for, because if the person isn't responsible enough, like as an example myself, I had a waterbed back in 1979 and 80, and I didn't change. You have to change the chemicals in the waterbed just like you do in your pool. Even though it's not exposed to air as much, the water does tend to go bad and you have to put some chemicals in. At least back then you did. And I just never did it. And I think the stuff inside my waterbed the little creatures started forming, and they had advanced to small hand tools by the time that I got rid of the bed. They were actually living in there. So you have to make sure that person is going to take care of the water. I don't know how they do it today. Maybe they have a new thing where you don't have to put chemicals in your waterbed. So why should I choose a waterbed over a regular bed? They say here there's many health benefits to be gained by using a waterbed as opposed to a regular mattress. Waterbed supports the body weight evenly by conforming to a person's exact shape. That has not been my experience, but fair enough. This means that there are no pressure points on your body when you're lying on a waterbed. For those experiencing back pain or arthritis, start smoking marijuana and the waterbed will seem even better. Let's see. This makes them better. So, yeah. here, how should I take care of my waterbed? Your waterbed doesn't require any fancy regular maintenance to stay in good shape. You should treat the water inside the bed occasionally with conditioner, or creatures inside will advance to small hand tools. It'll purify the water and keep it from developing odors. You may have to top off the water inside the mattress once a year, but as a general rule, you don't have to refill the mattress after the first time until you have to move the bed. So, interesting. I just had not seen it, and in all seriousness, I'm glad you showed me this, because I thought they had died, just gone away, having not seen one.
Well, again, it's not something you hear much about. I mean, it used to, you know, there was a time in history when it was they were incredibly popular.
It was the big thing.
Yeah,
it was a sexy thing. It was like, hey, you know, I can get girls over at my house because I have a waterbed.
Right. I have a waterbed in the back of my van.
Yeah, exactly.
And a black light.
Boy. I know. You know, it's funny. Whatever era you're living in, you're not laughing at that. But when you get out of that era and move into the next era, you look back and you laugh at the last one. And the further back they go, the more you laugh. The 70s is really funny. So I just want to say that for the record. Okay. You want to move on to the markets here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Okay, so let's see. Let's start with the S&P today.
3 minute move.
I had mentioned...
3 minute move.
I'm sorry?
Right, 3 minute move from 1408.09 zone to 2122. That happened in 3 minutes.
Yeah. Now, was that during the Globex session?
That was at 8 a.m.
Was.
Chicago. It was when the news came out, the unemployment news, or the the unemployment rate.
Unemployment rate, right. Now, did I see it correctly today? Is unemployment suddenly back down to 7.7% from 8.1?
That's what they said.
Yeah, I hope that's the truth. I hope that's really the case. But we went from 7.9 back up to, I think, 8.1, and now we've dumped from 8.1 down to 7.7, which is a remarkable leap. Honestly, nearly unbelievable. But that's the number.
Unemployment rate falls to 7.7% as job growth weathers Hurricane Sandy.
Okay.
But they had other numbers this morning that they revised downwards, so there's no reason to think that this number won't end up getting revised at some point. So, Are you still there, Michael, or did you leave? I think he already left.
Okay.
We talked about it this morning in the live training. We went over the numbers, the ones they revised from the previous report.
Yeah.
Let's see. Although the latest jobs report was on the whole upbeat, given expectations, the government revised downward the job growth numbers for September and October by a total of 49,000. Since the beginning of the year, job growth has averaged 151,000 a month, similar to last year's pace. That's good enough to keep up with population growth and then some, but not nearly strong enough to bring down the unemployment rate quickly. The jobless rate in November was the lowest since December of 2008, when the figure was 7.3. The drop last month, however, came as the labor force shrank, meaning that it wasn't so much job growth that pulled down the unemployment rate as it was the fact that there were fewer people in the labor market. So...
I wonder if that 7.7 includes people who, it must, includes people who are working for our ever-expanding government.
Well,
it must.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah. So there's some number in there as well. But good, you know, listen, good for America. If you know, I don't like Obama a bit. I don't like his administration a bit. I can't find anything good to say about them on a really good day. But in spite of that, if the economy gets better and things get better in America, that's wonderful. I'm happy for America because America to me is more important as a country than the administration. And I think everybody would feel the same way, even though there are people who would not want to have anything good happen under the administration because they have so many bad feelings for the administration.
Jim made a comment. As we saw in the data here, 350,000 people decided in November that they were no longer part of the workforce. What happened to those 350,000 people? When you drill down further in the data, you see that the total number of people working in America actually dropped by 122,000 workers.
I can believe.
True, the number of workers receiving unemployment dropped by 229,000, but just because they run out of benefits doesn't mean they found a job.
Is that how they classify it? If you run out of benefits, you're working?
No, that's just that drops the number of people receiving unemployment benefits.
Okay.
The number of people receiving unemployment benefits dropped by 229,000. That doesn't mean that 229,000 people got a job.
I'm asking, do they count that as jobs? Is that something that is counted in the number? Is the government?
I wouldn't think so. But you never.
I wouldn't think so.
They shouldn't. I mean.
They shouldn't. I mean, if it's jobs, it's jobs. It's not. That's different than simply not receiving a check.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's, to be honest with you, it's hard to believe, but I hope it's true, and that's my final.
According to Dwayne G., he said they do add that in.
They do add the number of people who no longer receive benefits as people who now have jobs.
Yeah, that's really shady if they do.
That's really shady if they do, because there's probably a great number of those people whose benefits just stopped, and they still are just sitting at their house.
Yeah.
If they don't have a job. So, anyway.
Yeah. All right. Well, which market do you want to go to? S&P?
Well, I just want to say, it sounds like those numbers are coming out of the kitchen where they're doing a lot of cooking.
Yep. They're definitely cooking those books.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I had mentioned yesterday, and I had talked to Bert previously on the day before about Friday, about today, that, and I mentioned this yesterday on the program, that if the market were to continue up into today, which would be normally what we would expect, but the way we put it out was that we would be interested in seeing where the market is anytime past noon today. And by noon, I mean halfway, not noon where you happen to be or where somebody else is, but the halfway point of the whole session. So that makes it easier. When we get past that, maybe a little past noon, where the market is. So this, again, it's not a forecast, but it would be of interest to me, as we described yesterday, if the market was making a high into that point, which is several hours from now, then we would be interested in potentially doing something with that on the short side at that time. So I'm just reiterating this because it may be of some value to people who are trading today to keep that in the back of your mind. If we see the market continue up and either make a new high or be making a what appears to be an important high after the halfway point of the day, somewhere maybe within an hour or so after. So keep an eye on that. The original setup for that actually occurred to us on the 19th of November. I'm sorry, I'm looking at a weekly chart, so let me get to the right time frame here. That occurred to us on the 5th of December, that the market would normally move up into from here. The possibility existed. This is a better way into the. Slightly past the midpoint into today. Now, already today, it looks like they've put in the high, doesn't it? And they've sold off from it pretty good and so on. But I'm just saying this so that in case we do find ourselves later there, you might want to take a look at your own system and see if there's something you can do there. The market remains overall in a very good position. Our longer-term outlook was originally for a December bottom, which had a price level of 1357, which needed to be tested. We put out a roadmap for that. It was tested in November, which qualified November for being the 1 month early bottom. In other words, that it would come 1 month early, and it did. So we believe the low is in for the big decline, and that the market's in a more bullish position. If we had our way, if we had our preference, we would like to see, even though it might look ugly for a day or so, we'd like to see 1357 retested. It's not a forecast for that, but that would be useful as a trading setup. That's why I say that we would like to see it, or that would be our preference. So we attempted to buy down here on the downside today. We have in our support and resistance panel 1409 as initial support for the day. The market did come down and test that level, and they're bouncing off that level now. It's real quiet. To me, this very much looks like pre-holiday. I'm not sure we really ever totally got out of the Thanksgiving holiday slowdown in the market. It still is very quiet. We're talking about the S&P. Other markets are moving much brisker. And here again, we have news that I don't know if you call it really good news, but this market rallies often on just about any news. And most of it has been bad for the last 3 years since the 666 bottom. The market has rallied primarily on bad news, bad outlooks, a tortured view on the future. This market has rallied, and that's called climbing the wall of worry. So a lot of people are looking for a big crash. We're not yet looking for a big crash here. But it is interesting how we got here, you know, that this whole business of putting in that big bottom several years ago and then advancing on probably what might go down later in history as the worst concentrated news, bad news, in a three-year period. I mean, or, you know, at least within the last 30 or 40 years. It has really taken, it's really advanced well on bad news. So it's an interesting situation. You know, markets are as big as life. All kinds of different things can happen. Anyway, so with regard to that, the market's real quiet here. Our bigger outlook is we still look for, on the broader, bigger scale, the market moving higher. We still think we're inside the bullish, larger trend. And the bottom that was put in November, we think, is a bullish indication for further advance overall, longer term, into 2013 and so on. So that's basically all I have to add for the S&P today. You know, we could make some short-term little indication or something, but I think really with the market moving this slowly, it's probably best just to take a look at the markets that are moving, the ones that have a little bit more.
Now, Jerry wanted some clarification. He says, aren't we already past the halfway point of the day session? And my answer that I typed into him was, yes, we are. What was your – I guess he was wanting some clarification on your remark about the halfway point. What was it that you were looking for?
Let me see. Now, why? Maybe I'm a little confused on that. Stay with me for a second. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, we're right about at it. We're a little bit past it right now. That is correct. That is correct. We're a little bit past it right now. So, as a matter of fact, this hour would put us, because the trading day is, I think 640 minutes total, is it not? Do we not have the seventh hour isn't a full hour in the market. So we are past the halfway point. So keep an eye on where we, right now we're in that zone, that time frame that we talked about a couple days ago, that I did to Bert and yesterday on the radio show, that if the market continues up here, then we want to watch it, because it becomes, more interesting as we get into the latter part, the second half of today, of Friday. And that's where we're, entering right now. We're sort of just beginning that because we're just in the fourth hour. We're finishing up the fourth hour right now. And the day is really about 7 hours total, slightly less, 6 hours and 40 minutes. So yes, we are. So don't be confused by it. Let's just watch and see, and we'll review the other markets and we'll come back to the S&P, real quick here. Dwayne, anything you want to add on the, S&P that maybe you hadn't already,
no.
Talked about?
No, we were just amazed by that, the run. I mean, we weren't surprised that it went from zone to zone, but the fact that it did it in 3 minutes. And when you look at the hourly candle, you go, okay, well, that was a pretty good hour. No, it was a pretty good 3 minutes.
Yeah, it only looks like an hour.
Always as they appear. This morning I wanted to see how long it did. So I actually, the process I went through at the beginning of the show, I actually did that myself. I went to 30 minutes and I go, then I went 15, then 10, mm-hmm. 5, and finally, 3 was the magic number. That's what it took, was 3 minutes. So all of this business here is inside this hour here. So we have sort of an inside day inside of this opening volley here. And from this point here, we got 15, 16 overhead. We talked last night about the potential for lower prices, depending upon how we close today. And this is what we're looking for right here, is if this closes, if we get a red body on the day, or even if we just close down in this area that we're at now, then at least Sunday night on the Globex Open, we're going to be looking for some lower prices into Monday morning, and possibly down to this 91, 92 area. And then maybe the market turns back up, unless we manage to close back above 14.16 for the day. If we close back above 14.16 for the day, then we'll be looking for higher prices on the Globex Open Sunday night. So
yeah,
that's about it for us.
Okay, good. And we are, the fellow that mentioned that, we are kind of at the critical point right here. You know, we're entering that little time zone that we talked about. So keep an eye on that as we're going on here. So we'll take a look at a few of the other markets here.
Now, the tweet that I had sent out Sunday night that said, I think the week will be in a tight range with odd spikes back and forth. When I said that, we were trading right around this 15-16 area, and after all the whoop-de-doos of the week, here we are on Friday, right back at the 15-16. So the spikes were there, but at the end of the week, you know, unless something drastic happens between now and the close, we're going to be right back where we opened the week, 15-16. Mm-hmm. So after all the hoopla, you'd have to say, well, there was activity, there was volatility, but the market really didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Not from the big picture.
Yeah. Okay, so let's take it on from there to gold. Those of you that have been listening to the program know about the bottom in gold that we talked about recently on the program. we wanted a few days back, we wanted the market to continue lower back on December 4th. We talked about the market moving lower to the 1687, 1686 level, which we felt would be buying territory because that would set us into a December 5th bottom, reflected wave bottom. For those of you that are new, reflected wave is a turning point methodology that we employ to detect when a future top or bottom is going to occur. And in this particular case, the bottom did come in on December 5th. They spiked it today. They broke below it today. Kind of a little bit of a flush out. That's the exact scenario we've talked about so many times on the radio, that when they do that and they reconfirm, get back above the critical level, 1686, 1687, you want to re-enter if you were stopped out. And don't be afraid to do that. It's a technique that has served me very well, no doubt about it. And I learned to do it not out of a book. I learned to do it out of watching how many times I had been flushed out of a trade to then sit back and watch the trade not only firm up, but then have a powerful multi-day move in one way or the other, and having not been in it. And, you know, you can only see that so many times before it becomes obvious that maybe the next time they do that, that and they firm back up after flushing you, that maybe you should consider getting back in. And then I learned that once you get flushed out and you say, well, I'm going to get back in, then you have a whole lot more doubt than you did the first time. You have to now, we're working against an internal force inside of you, which is doubt. And it's hard to get excited about investing along with doubt. But that's how you earn money in the market, is that many times what you're feeling is what most people would feel. And most people cannot act appropriately, properly, when they feel those emotions. But if you learn to act when those emotions are still present in you, even as they're present in you, you'll find that the market tends to pay for that behavior, where it doesn't pay so well for other types of setups that would might make you feel warm and cozy, as an example. So the market has a non-intuitive thing to it, and you have to learn how to do the right thing, the right purchase or sale, even though you are existing in that moment with quite a bit of doubt. And so I found that in trying to re-enter these positions, it caused a lot of doubt, and I still did it. And then finally I learned that it's really, you know, it's a great quote-unquote secret that if you'll follow that and watch that, you can do very well with that that type of thing. It's done very well for me. It's not something that you need to learn out of a book. It's something that you will discover by being stopped out of the market if you're trading long enough. And we've been served very well by doing that. I'm not sure I can remember the last time that we took a signal based upon that that did not work the way I'm talking about. I'm not sure I can remember it failing. I certainly can remember being stopped out, but the re-entries can be very powerful. So gold did do that. It wasn't anything really big. It just simply did what it normally does, which is flush down, hit a important level down there, test that important level, and then lo and behold, there you are with the market staring at you saying, well, I'm back above those important levels now. How are you doing? You know, and at that point, you have to make the decision to take advantage of your position, your opportunity to put a position on. And so that's what we do every time we see that. So gold is in that position right now. They spiked below an important level, and I think you would be wise to be long gold. So if you want to take a look at that, you can. We also have, I believe we have a roadmap out on gold as well. You can get that roadmap, if you'd like to, by signing up for a month of Messenger Pro and follow that and several other roadmaps that are currently underway. Roadmaps are longer-term forecasts for price movement from a specific spot up to usually distant price targets. So keep that in mind, and we'll continue to talk about gold into next week. So let's see. Even without a roadmap, we'd be talking about being long in gold based on our original discussion on December 4th on the radio program about them moving lower, touching that area, putting in the December 5th bottom, and so on. So I'm looking for higher prices there. Let's see. Let's move on from there. Dwayne, anything you want to add? Are you in gold? Or are you doing anything with gold?
Nope, I am not.
Okay. Okay. Facebook, I don't have anything to add. Do you want to say anything about Facebook?
I didn't see any news out on it this morning.
Okay.
Apple's down another 3% today.
Is it? Let's take a quick look at Apple. Now, I heard you say something earlier about Apple is considering manufacturing back in the United States, or was that you that I heard?
Well, they are. They're going to one of their computers. They haven't announced which one. They already have some stuff that's assembled here, but they're going to completely manufacture. And the rumors are that it's going to be the MacBook Pro, I think. That they're going to manufacture here. But no, I wasn't talking about that today. I was talking about the iPad Mini was released in China.
Right,
today.
I got you. Yeah.
And in the flagship store in Beijing, only four people turned out to buy one. And they were turned away because they had failed to make a reservation online. So Steve Jobs would have been very proud of that moment.
Yeah. With regard to Apple, if we take a look at it, we had talked about on the program a couple days back that we believe that just like the S&P, Apple would want to bottom in December. Apple is probably in a weaker position than the S&P with regard to this particular setup for a December bottom. So we'll see how that plays out. Right now, November still has the bottom was in so far on the November. That's the lower low right now. Now, let's see what else we have here. Let's see. There's not a lot, but I am interested in keeping an eye on the euro. We talked about this a couple of days ago. If a person wanted to, they could. I'd really rather wait until Monday on the euro, but just in general, I like the idea of starting to look for long entries in the euro. A person that wanted to be aggressive with this could consider that. I talked about this yesterday. Could consider that today, but if they were to retest on Monday the 129.17 level or slightly lower, I would be interested. And the really normal, non-aggressive side of me would wait until Monday, but I wouldn't mind also, considering the aggressive side of this, which would be to watch the euro for the remainder of the day, because I like the idea of potentially putting new long positions on. So keep an eye on that, And
Jim
we'll
wants
talk
to know if he could trade the big trade that you've been talking about, your big move, if he could trade that with a $5,000 account.
You know, he probably should talk to Bert Schlichter from Daniel's Trading. I'm not licensed in any way, and I don't want to refer to margins and things like that. So I would rather have him talk. That's really a Bert Schlichter question. Maybe Bert's around. Bert, are you there?
No, I'm not.
No, he's not. Okay, that's good. Thanks, Bert. Appreciate that.
The thing is, you got to understand is that on a full size contract, most margins go up pretty substantially overnight. So, Bert, but again, you're really the best one to answer that question. So, would you?
From who is this? Jim. Okay. Okay, can you see on this? Okay. About the big trade, could you trade it? Yes, with a $5,000 account, but you would have to...
Purchase options.
You can do it with a $5,000 account, but you're going to have to do it with options. And as far as this gold trade is concerned, yeah, I would. I would buy the gold on pullbacks, mm-hmm. even though it went down, looked like it stopped some people out. But I like the energy off the low. I got some, a few days ago we had some indications that it was about to turn. So, yeah, I would.
Yeah, I like the scariness of it. I'm telling you, get used to scary. Adore scary, because scary is good. That's when things happen in the market. That's when amateurs don't get it right and professionals do. It's during scary. I'm not saying that to beat anybody up, but you have to learn how to operate during scary often so that you can take advantage of some of these bigger moves and setups. This morning in gold was not the scariest thing, but the flush out is the classic setup where, like we talked about earlier, it's harder to get back in because you're frightened by what they just did. You don't want to lose more money and all that. But the market really does, in the end, reward risk. And that's the question. How much risk are you willing to take? And are there risks that feel bad but are really not bad? That's the thing. Can you find spots in the market that feel bad but in reality are not bad? They're not really dangerous. Like a person, you know, walking next to what appears to be a cliff and it really isn't a cliff and he's really frightened, he can't move, but there's really nothing to be afraid of. Well, those situations come up in the market, and quite often those are the situations that feel the worst, but there's actually very little danger there. And isn't it odd that we feel that much danger when there is no danger? And in many cases, we feel very good about a position when there's all kinds of danger. So that's why I'm saying it. There's a level that you get to over time that you've been through this plenty of times, and you start saying, you know what, this whole game is skewed. It's you have to learn how to manage yourself while in doubt, because you're not going to change the doubt. The doubt's going to be there. But you start realizing, wow, this is actually a good thing. They did something scary, and that usually means most people can't deal with it. I'm going to try to be a person that deals with it here and trade it, because not because it's super high risk, because it just feels really scary and really has very low risk. So anybody who's been around the markets knows what we're talking about here. So, Bert, he should trade with options on that position, and can you help him with that? You want to give your phone number to him, and he can give you a call?
866-928-3310. I'll put it in the chat box for everybody.
Okay.
Bert, anything else you want to add about the options side? I guess he had to pick up the phone.
Okay. Okay, so we'll move on real quick here.
Bert's number's in the chat box. If you have any questions about how to trade options, how to use them, he's your guy. He can answer all of your questions.
Yeah. Let's see. So we talked about the euro. We're going to see how that goes into Monday. Let's see what else we have. We've gotten to something else over here. Crude again today has been down for a number of days here. I mentioned yesterday about crude that we're right on the, again, like a number of markets have the seventh for a bottom, and so crude is in that position as well. So just keep that in mind. that we want the market to go down. And remember, the number that we gave out was, I believe it was 85-45 or so, that we'd like to see them touch. If they're unable to touch that, that actually in some ways is a very good early sign. So I wouldn't do anything necessarily with it today, but I would wait until Monday as we get into a more critical time period for the market to show its hand right at this point. So keep that in mind. We'll talk about that on Monday. I think next week is going to be a very important week in the markets here. So let's see. Don't have anything to add. We've talked about Tesla many times, but I think this is I don't think many people are actually trading in this stock, but we like it, and we're continuing to watch the market continue. So we have a few more markets I'll take a quick look at here, Duane. The dollar index, which runs in 90% of the cases, it runs euro contrary to the euro. And so we'd be looking for the euro to firm up. That means the dollar would be close to making a top here. So keep that in mind. That would be something you could trade both of them, but I don't know if it makes a whole lot of sense to do that. It's essentially it's your pick, but keep an eye on that. And we have a top I mentioned yesterday in the dollar that would be due on December 10th, daily top. That is very close to the euro, which it is the same date for the euro, like we talked about for Monday. I think the euro was the 7th. So right, the Friday-Monday combination there. Both these markets have turns, so I think those are, you know, we have something very good at work in both those markets. You could trade both if you wanted to. Duane, I don't know if you saw Groupon today. They had a really nice move up, powerful advance. They're a low-priced stock, but they had a nice move up nonetheless.
No, let's have a look at it. I hadn't seen it.
Yep.
Groupon. There we go. Yeah, see, it's still banging its head up against that 50-period moving average. hit it. It's hit it once. Huge drop. Hit it a second time. Smaller drop. Now it's pressing right up against it again. So if you can close above the 50-period moving average, this is on a daily chart, and close above this high here, then as you look left, you don't have anything to worry about except this little point right here. And then you've got this gap. So these big guys coming in, these hedge funds, certainly have created some interest in this stock. Whether that has done anything to, well, there's been no news that the fundamental business plan of Groupon has changed. So everyone agreed before, or seemed to agree, that there was a flawed business model. This is why we saw the stock trade from the IPO price all the way down to here. But then, you know, Paul Tudor Jones and I forget who else, big hedge fund guys, they stepped in and started buying this thing. And the news of them buying it has rallied it, but I've seen no news anywhere, and I may have just missed it, that said Groupon is going to do something new to change the way they make money. So I'll continue to watch for that, and it may be these guys that are coming in, putting up this money, buying stock, they're bringing a plan along with their money. You know, maybe they are taking a large position in this company because they have some idea of how to turn it around and make it profitable. So we'll see how it unfolds.
Yeah, it is interesting. Okay, I'm just checking while you were talking, Duane. I was just taking a quick look at any of the other interesting markets. We talked about, this is just a little thing, and it may be something of some interest to everyone that is people that trade stocks. We don't get a lot of questions on stocks, but I've noticed we have a few more. And, you know, we're very interested in stocks. There's a lot of, you know, distributed risk type of setups you can do with stocks. You know, as an example, I've mentioned this many times, as opposed to trading the index, you can buy a bunch or sell a bunch of stocks or sell options against a bunch of stocks individually rather than just making a single bet on the index. This has been something that we have been doing for years, and it's very useful because a distributed bet has a many other little bits and pieces of nuance that can work in your favor, even if the index, the one bet that you might have placed, were to go south on you or north or whatever the direction is when it goes bad. Often it's not as bad when you have the risk distributed. So we like the idea of mixing up the idea that the index is making a bottom. We like to take a bunch of different stocks and find bottoms in the individual stocks and then sell options and things against those. And if we were wrong about the index, in many cases, some of those stocks, many of them will still end up being profitable on the options. And we've shown our option statement recently at some of the, we started that statement, April, May, June, July, August, September, October. You know, we're inching in on, I think, 18 months now ago. This is a statement that we've been showing. I remember when it was down at $15,000 and $20,000 in gain. This was starting back in April of last year, of 2011. What we were showing was just merely utilizing options against stocks, which is basically covered call writing. Sometimes we would sell options that are called naked, which means that you're not selling it with any underlying asset that you own. You don't own any of the stock. You're just selling an option against a stock that's making a top or a bottom. And then in many cases, we will own the stocks. And so we updated our statement from last the last time we updated, I think, was in October or November. We updated it. And so we had a nice little pop-up in that statement. We're now at 172,000 in the 16 or 18-month period. And we'll show that statement again if you would like to come to our next webinar, which would be next Tuesday, which is going to be on the reflected wave. This is a person could, if they wanted to, if they don't want to sit in front of the screen, I love sitting in front of the screen. I'm here every day. But not everybody can, and not everybody really wants to necessarily do that. This is an option, no pun intended, for you to be able to utilize something, a methodology like reflected wave, which we use in our own trading, to, take some of these larger time frame turning points and sell options against them. It doesn't require a lot of babysitting of the position. It's pretty easy. It's surprising. And like everything else, you have to manage it. We do have losing trades in there, and we show everything. We show all the trades from start to finish. But we're going to continue to show that statement. And, I think it speaks volumes about what can be done with different instruments in the market. That if you have a methodology that you understand and can work with, whatever that methodology is, it doesn't have to be just reflected wave. You could be utilizing any other methodology, but if you understand it, know how to protect yourself on the risk side, and act appropriately when risk is when something does go wrong in a trade, and things do. There are times that those things are going to happen. But in the end, if you manage that stuff right, you can really put on, because the stock market has so many different stocks in it, you can be in a whole bunch of options at any one time, if you have the funds for it. And relatively speaking, even if you have a $10,000 account, you can be in a lot of stocks. Relatively speaking, you can be in a lot of instruments, more than you would be trading just one or two futures, because the stocks individually are much less expensive on an options basis, and you still get the time decay function and so on. So this statement has all that in it. This statement is essentially just a whole slew of, it's probably close to 500 trades in 18 months, just selling time premium. So it's just one of many ways to work with the market. And you might want to talk again, maybe talk to Bert about that. So having said that, the reason I brought that up is because we're looking at Green Mountain Coffee Roasters. I don't know why I just like the name Green Mountain Coffee Roasters. It just sounds like something I'd want to go to. Honey, let's go to Green Mountain Coffee Roasters. And they are what we believe. They should put in a top in December here. And it's not a big deal stock. They're trading at probably, I think, $37.50 or so right now. $37.53 right now. So you could, if a person wanted to, there's two ways you could trade this right now, utilizing this the option idea, and you would talk to Bert about this. One is to wait for December to close. But if you wait for December to close, you may indeed miss a decent chunk of the move, and what you'll get paid for selling options will be less. The other is that just to wait till halfway through December. Wait for a little bit longer here and see where we are on the halfway point, and then consider putting, that's a more aggressive position on, and sell options above 40 to 41.
For the price to go higher or lower?
We're looking for the price to go lower because we'd be looking for a top in December for this market. We originally, back on your program, in October, had forecast that this market, even though it's low priced, it seemed like an interesting, somebody had asked about it, that it would go up from $20.80 to $31.19 into December. They completed that price 1 month early, the $31.19, in November, and they continued higher into December. So we believe the market needs to pull back from here. And what we'll do with this is we will sell options at or above the high of this market. We might sell slightly below it because we're not concerned, as an example, if we were not concerned at the time that they would exceed it, we would might get paid a little more option premium for doing that. And then we just go about our business and check it on the close of each day, that kind of thing. Or, you know, we might look at it intraday or whatever. But after a while, if you have a whole bunch of these, unless you have a lot of screens and, big wall, eight different panels or something, it gets a little difficult to look at a whole bunch of these because we might be in quite a few at one time. So we just might review them all at the end of the day, or if we have some concerns about one, we put that on a little list and we'll review that during the day. But that's something for you to consider. I really like for people who are the kind that can't be in front of the screen to talk to Bert about selling options. It's a whole market, it's a whole thing out there, and you can do some good money from doing that. It's the return on any individual trade isn't necessarily, through the roof, but it's the fact that you can have a bunch of them on at one time and have a lot of these things working for you without having to watch everything tick for tick. Okay, so Green Mountain Coffee Roasters, keep an eye on that for a top in December, and then we'll talk more about that as we get further through. Then we have soda.
Let me just say this right here, guys, on this candlestick pattern. This says the top. Well, this is a very bearish pattern right here, and you've got almost two identical candles here with this little doji sandwiched in between them. And so anything lower than the low of yesterday should be good for a short position. So.
Okay, good. Thank you.
That's based.
I like
on
the word
something.
Sandwiched. That's reminds makes me think of a
sandwich,
Oreo cookie, with the good stuff sandwiched right between.
That's based on something entirely different than what David was explaining about his method. That's just what I was talking about. That's just basic candlestick technical analysis. But when the two line up together, then you got two entirely different things pointing in the same direction. So that's something to...
Yeah, and listen, we use all my charts. Anybody have seen my charts? I love candlesticks partly because it may sound simple, but partly because they're very easy to see. It's very easy to see everything on a candlestick chart. And I myself looked at and studied for a number of years candlestick charting patterns and so on. And there are certain things and certain ideas that will just settle in your head from watching and looking at that kind of thing. And I think that I have those in my head for various setups in candlesticks, and I think it's a good idea for people to know. If they have an interest, I think it's a good idea to know the candlestick setups and stuff. Each one of them has, at some point, if you get too many setups, you start getting to the point where you've distributed, you've got so many things going on that, this is just an opinion of mine, that the odds of that setup doing what it's supposed to do starts to diminish because there's so many of them, and you just are dipping into, the probabilities start to go. But if you pick a few really good ones that you've seen just by watching them, that can be very useful as a backdrop, and it kind of settles into your brain in the background, and it is very helpful to see the market act a certain way, very much like how gold today, whatever the candlestick pattern might be, gold today, whatever the name is, completed and did something like that in bottoming and so on, which would indicate further movement. Now, we had something, Dwayne, on we talked about soda. I don't, again, remember exactly what the deal was. Oh, soda, we had the weekly top that's due next week, and it was likely to have closed or it was likely that the top came 1 week early because of the market getting back below $41 and change.
Yeah. That was the bearish engulfing for us on soda
right
here.
Right. So the week's going to close poorly on this, and I like the idea of you looking for, you know, selling rallies, essentially, if you have an interest in next week. Wait for next week on that, on this stock. This is a medium-priced stock, $40, $39, $50, and it's an interesting stock because it had a big crash back in August of 2011, and it's still sort of recovering from that crash, and I like that kind of setup. I like the recovery period where everything's trying to get it, you know, they're trying to figure out what they're going to do and how it's all going to go. And there's actually quite a bit of good range trading that you can do in that kind of scenario. So keep that in mind. And I think, Dwayne, that's everything we have for today. I would like to wish everybody a wonderful weekend away from markets, if that's what you're interested in doing, and have some nice times with your family. It's a wonderful time of the year. Go get your Christmas shopping done. Take a look at the high-end stores. They have the great ideas. And I'm sure some low-end stores have good ideas as well. But you might find some really good ones at the other stores that we talked about. And the S&P is just stopping here. We'll have to wait until a little later today to see if there's anything else to grab onto here. But, yeah, I'd like to wish everybody a wonderful weekend. I'm looking forward to the last couple of weeks here before vacation. And, Dwayne, do you have your vacation schedule laid out yet for Christmas?
Oh, Christmas is on Tuesday. So we'll be closed Monday and Tuesday. And then we'll be here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay.
And then the week of New Year's, again, we'll be closed Monday, Tuesday. And then we'll be here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay. Good. I'll mark that down.
Have you decided what you're going to do?
Well, I think what we're going to do, in fact, let me just double check. Johnny, what is our schedule for Christmas? What is this Christmas schedule? When are we? Friday the 21st is our last day, and we return on the 2nd. However, having said that, I'm going to keep an eye on the market, and Dwayne, if you would like, and if I can be, I would love to be on during that time. If something is happening, if there's big stuff happening in any of the roadmaps or anything, I'd be very happy to be on.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I'll be around.
There was a question about natural gas. A couple people had asked about natural gas.
Okay, let's take a quick look at that.
I guess the question was, Richard had asked yesterday if we could look at an ETF called Boil, which is a natural gas ETF. I'm just scrolling up to try to find that.
While you're doing that, let me address
David
a little bit
now
about
now disqualified longs for crude and natural gas with today's drop in price.
Okay, well, that's a number of questions. Let's start with natural gas. Originally, we had talked about a December 4th. Bottom, or I think that was what it was, and we had been telling people to get long in natural gas, spiked down, and then had a very good day up a couple days back, rallied nicely, and they are reacting off of that rally right now. Now, I don't know if they're asking if they can go long here. We don't have an outright setup immediately for anything in natural gas except the last one, which was for the long position. Let me just double check here.
Well, I think the question was, is that you had, it says, has David now disqualified longs for crude and natural gas with today's drop in price?
I got it. And I want to just, I'm going to get to crude in just a second, but I do want to take a look at a few of the other set of charts in natural gas just to be sure that we're not missing anything here.
Just a reminder, guys, we do have a webinar coming up at 1 o'clock today, the Coach's Corner. This webinar will stay open. We'll be taking a break. I'll probably stream the Christmas channel during the break, but we'll come right back into the same room at 1 p.m. to do the Coach's Corner with Robin. So don't close your GoToWebinar window. Just leave it open. If you get an email, you don't need to close this and go click that link, because it'll just bring you right back to the place you just left. So we're going to leave this room open, and we will use it at 1 p.m. Eastern for the Coach's Corner.
Dave Mason wrote a song many years ago, "It's Like You Never Left."
That's how it is.
remember that song? I don't know.
I don't remember it.
Real quick on natural gas. Natural gas is in somewhat of a different position than crude, at least according to the way that we look at things. Natural gas had put in a monthly top. Anybody with reflected wave knows about this, in the month of November. So normally we would expect a multi-month sideways or lower movement off of that top. That isn't necessarily the same position for his question about crude. I think he's asking, with today's decline in crude, do we not like the long side of crude? And I'll tell you, let me get it up here real quick, and we'll take another look at it. I think we mentioned something earlier, but let's take another look at it here. I think for us, what we would like to see, actually, strangely enough, we'd like to see a little bit lower. 85.45 would be the place that we'd like to see crude go to. That's a little bit lower than it is now. It's 86.13. And as I mentioned in the last couple of days, December 7th is the next important reflected wave bottom for crude. So what I would like to see is, and let me just double check this price to make sure. Yeah, 85.45, I'd like to see that price tested or at or near that price get touched. We haven't yet. So the answer is no, this does not change anything for, we're actually in the setup period for a long entry here with the December 7th bottom. And this would be good, by the way, for people who are interested in taking advantage of this, would be good for early next week to take a look at this because of where we are right now. This is a very important juncture that the market's getting itself into for the potential for a nice tradable move up. So we'll talk about this on Monday, but no, nothing's been disqualified yet. So with regard to this bottom right here. In fact, we're in the process of putting it in, and if we had our way, we'd like to see a little bit lower prices. And as you know, if they couldn't do that and started to firm up, we would read that as strength in the market. So I hope that answers the question nicely for you.
Thank you very much, James. Yeah, the correction is 3 p.m. Eastern today, not 1 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Thank
all right, well, Dwayne,
much.
I wish you guys all a wonderful weekend.
Okay. All right.
Did you have anything else for me or no?
Well, I mean, did you already cover the questions about the crude and the natural gas?
I did. I just finished. I just finished.
Okay. Did that answer your guys' question?
Yeah, and somebody asked a question about an ETF. I'm sorry. There was one other, and I don't know what
Boyle,
symbol
B-O-I-L.
Was. Okay, and this is probably something related to...
It's natural gas.
Natural gas.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick look at this. Do you want to put that up, Dwayne?
Sure.
Or
there it is.
You? Okay. Well, look at that. It would take me just a moment here just to see some... get some perspective on this. I don't have a lot to say on this right off the top, but let's see if we can say something about it a little closer term. This is going to run with some of these other markets, but give me just a minute here. You know, in some ways, this ETF is running something like the crude. It actually looks similar, you know, if you're just looking at it. It's running a little similar, although I don't have any of the price levels and things worked out for where I'd want to see this go. I wonder if his specific question, does he want me to, maybe it would be best if he doesn't ask a specific question because he just wants to hear what my opinion is. I wouldn't have an indication at this moment for this. If I was looking at it myself and was thinking, well, maybe I can put something out, I don't think I have anything right at this moment for this. I would say this, that the week that we're in, I can say this, and let me double check this, okay? So just give me a moment.
Now, just to clarify, his question was simply if you thought this might be a good way to play natural gas from the stock side.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, that's an interesting question, and, you know, we're doing the same. What's the fellow that asked the question's name?
Richard, you know him.
Richard, yeah, Richard. Richard, we're doing the same with the with gold because we didn't buy the metal. We bought the ETFs. So we're in that same position. So yeah, you can use ETFs definitely to take advantage. You have to understand that you're not always going to get the full pop. Sometimes you'll get better than the full PAP, but sometimes you get less than what the actual market's doing. There's other functions and factors involved in the movement of ETFs. So keep that in mind. But let me give me just a moment more here, and I just want to see if there's something that we can say about this that's a little bit more involved. Okay, I can. Here's what I want to tell you. The week of, well, it's this week. It's the week of December 3rd. This stock, they've attempted some important levels on the downside, one of which is $44, and they've gotten down to $44.80 or $44.60, whatever that is. I like the idea, anyway, as a starting point, that as long as the market or the ETF is above $43.60, then I would treat this week, the week of December 3rd, as a potential bottom, and any further decline that would test 43.60, I would expect them to close above that into next week. So if there was a test below that level, there's two levels. There's the 43.60 and there's 41. But 41 is out of the. It's not in this setup, so to speak. It's kind of hard to put it together verbally, but it isn't really a part of this setup. If this week the market had gotten down to 41, that would have been a very different picture. But I like the idea of you thinking about a reversal occurring off of the week of December 3rd, and that it's allowable for the market. Let's give a range here. It's allowable for them to go from 43.60 maybe to 42.50, you know, maybe $1.10 or something, that you let them, if they do go any lower next week. If not, I like the idea of them reversing here. I could see them doing that. And if you wanted to be less aggressive and wait until early next week and see how they open and so on, that would be just fine. And then we would look for an advance, actually, from these levels in this ETF. Now, having said all that, it's an initial view. I believe what I just said is correct, but I just want to say it's an initial view, and I usually like to spend a whole lot more time looking at stuff before I tell people to spend money or do anything with it. But there is a couple of obvious things about this stock, and the 43.60 level along with the week of December 3rd is important. And so if they continue to close above that, I would be able to say to you, you know, you might buy this for a nice advance, a multi-week advance. And why don't you bring that up again, Richard, sometime in the following weeks. We'll take a look at this and see where we are from this point.
There's a couple comments. Ed says, extra caution is needed on the energy ETFs because of the structure and roles in the futures market at the time of trade.
Good many, point, because many, the crude is...
get hurt yeah, because of this. I was finishing yeah. his comment.
Go yeah, ahead. No, I like that. The crude is rolling, or the December, whatever the latest market, you know, it's rolled out of that into February, whatever the month that we're in right now. And I do like the idea of using caution anyway. I like the idea of being relaxed, letting the market have a little, you know, maybe they take some, they start moving up and you have to get in at a higher price or whatever. I would tend to be a buyer in that range if they do touch it next week, the 43.60 down to maybe 42.50 or so, if they were to get there. So we'll take a look at this next week. If you want to ask about it next week, we'll comment on it again. And I appreciate the opportunity to look at it and, you know, try to put something together quick. I'm tap dancing over here on my feet trying to put something together with this.
Another
here,
another comment is that Boyle is pretty thinly traded for an ETF. Volume today is 86,000. A suggestion is to have a look at UNG. UNG, United States Natural Gas Fund. That one, by contrast, has traded 3.1 million shares today.
Oh.
And that is also a natural gas, I guess it's an ETF. It says natural gas fund. So, UNG.
Okay. No, that helps. Okay, well, I'm saving that. We'll take a look at that. I appreciate the question. We'll see if we can do something with it. You know, we've talked about this so many times. I'll let you go in a minute. I just want to say this again. If you can just relax enough to make trading fun and not turn it into a do-or-die situation, or I have to be Mr. Aggressive, or I have to be Mr. This or Mr. Perfect or Mr. Whatever, and just relax with it and wait for the setups that you like, and sometimes give them a little extra time and sometimes not get the full move and all that stuff. It actually, you just find yourself almost just, you know, forgetting about making all the money or making a certain dollar, fixed dollar amount on a certain amount of days or time or anything. It just becomes a fun thing to do, and you've agreed with yourself to manage the risk. You've made that agreement with yourself. If the whole world came apart at the seams, you are still have that agreement with yourself, and there's nothing more powerful. As a saying, there's nothing that's more powerful than the agreements you have with yourself. No one's going to be able to mess with that. And so that's, you know, the kingdom of heaven is within. Go find and make agreements with yourself so that you can know that you're going to make the right decisions and you're going to work through things properly, whatever those agreements are that work in your life. And that's, again, why I like the idea of sitting down and seeing what agreements you do have with yourself, because I can assure you, you have agreements with yourself now. You just may not be aware of what those agreements are, but they can be, and they are very powerful. But if you take some time and sit down and realize that you can agree with yourself to do anything you want in life, you can agree with yourself to go anywhere, do anything, respond in any kind of way that you like, those basic kind of fundamental agreements can lay out a very nice roadmap, no pun intended, for you to travel down rather than waiting for events to happen and seeing how you are going to react this time or that time to them. Certain fundamental things, you know, that, you know, can be very helpful for you. I think a first step is to know what agreements you have made with yourself, because, like I said, you have made agreements with yourself, and they play a very important part in how you respond to life and how you respond to, you know, your comparison of yourself to others, which is a sick thing to do. It's a very, very bad sign if you're constantly comparing yourself to other people. That's a very, very low thing to be in position to do. You weren't created to compare yourself to other people and come out ahead or behind. You're here on your own merit. It's not a game between you and the next guy. It's not a game. And it's not a game between you and the next guy. Self-comparison is one of the basic things that causes people to degenerate over time, is that they're constantly comparing themselves and coming out either ahead or either behind or whatever it is, and that keeps you in the rat race in your mind. But back to that other thing real quick, and then I'll let you go. The agreements that you've made, there's nothing more powerful than agreements, because once you've made it with yourself, you own something there that, you know, the world can come apart at the seams, but you work with these agreements. You've agreed with yourself, and you're going to act and do things in a certain way. And it's a good idea. Take some time and take a look and see if you don't already have some agreements at work. And that might be very helpful for you to get rid of the ones that are operating and let those go, because some of those agreements may be causing you some grief in trading. So I'm sure they are, I don't mean to say that and make it sound too bad, but I found a lot of those things operating in me, and I don't know where I picked them up. They just were there. Just like, where's this come from? Well, how did I end up with this, you know? So play with that. Dwayne, thanks for having me on the program. I will be very happy to be back on Monday, and I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Get some Christmas shopping done and check out those high-end stores. They got the good gifts. You'll see.
All right, dude.
All right. Thank you very much, you guys. I'll see you all on Monday.
All right. Have a great weekend.
See you then. You too. Bye-bye.
I didn't notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending time with you. Every day's a new day in love with you. With each day.
Okay, guys, that is going to wrap it up for us for now. But we'll be back in about 50 minutes. If you received an email, and you probably received two emails, if you received an email telling you to come for the webinar with Robin, the Coach's Corner, at 1 p.m. Eastern. That was erroneous. It's 3 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, guys, for pointing out that error. I straightened it out. I sent a corrected email. I'm going to leave this room open. The link that's in the email you might receive, if you leave this room and click that link, it'll bring you right back to this room. We're repurposing the link because the room's already open and many of you are already here. So you can simply walk away from your computer, go have a sandwich, walk the dog, come back in 50 minutes, and we will have our first edition of the Coach's Corner with Miss Robin Dane, the Trader's Coach. Today's topic, I believe I have the name correct. I really should write things down. Overcoming the Superman Syndrome. And I think I know what that is, but I'm not positive. But join me back here again at 3 p.m. Eastern, and we'll find out together. Okay? So again, don't worry about closing this room, because we're going to use this very room where you are right now for the Coach's Corner. What I am going to do is I'm going to stream the Christmas channel in this room until we pick up again at 3 p.m. Now, for those of you who haven't had a chance to listen to the Christmas channel, you're gonna get that opportunity. And if for some reason, because I'll be running it through a couple different machines to get to you this way, it's a circuitous route, as they say. If it doesn't sound right, then I'll just put something else on to keep you entertained until 3 p.m. Eastern, when we kick off the Coach's Corner. Pete, I will make an MP3 audio. There'll be a podcast, the Coach's Corner. And I don't think I'll be recording video unless Robin has like a slideshow presentation that she wants me to record. Then I will do that. If there are no slides, if we're just going to be talking, then it'll be a podcast. Either way, there will be a podcast, which will be uploaded to iTunes. And by the way, guys, iTunes is a great way to listen to the show when you miss it live. While you're there, subscribing, which is free, just go to iTunes, go to podcasts, search eMini, will pop right up, or Christian Financial Radio Network will pop right up. You subscribe for free. You've always got the latest episode. It's a great way to manage all of your digital files, and while you're there, all of your digital media files, and while you're there, please leave us a review in the comment section. We appreciate that very much. Beginning next week, if all goes according to plans, our stream will be in a different format. It will be AAC instead of WMA, which I know doesn't mean much to most people in the audience, but actually it will, because some of you have been able to get the stream on your PC, but then on your iPhone, in order to listen, you had to go to a third-party app, or on your iPad, you had to use a third-party app. We'll continue to have the third-party apps. We'll have our own. We still have our own iPhone app. Plus, we have TuneIn Radio and a couple of other third-party apps where you can listen to the program. But again, if all goes according to plans, and you know about the best-laid plans of mice and men, come Monday, there'll be one button you click, and it won't matter if you're on a PC or a Mac, or an iPhone, or an Android phone, or a tablet, or even a Kindle. It'll just play. So we're overcoming a lot of hurdles to bring this technology. It's a blend of Flash and HTML5. That's what allows it to work in all environments. So we'll be working over the weekend to try to get that all lined up. Until then, we'll continue to broadcast in the old format. I've got to make sure everything's working correctly before I totally switch it over. So if you have any questions, if you have any problems tuning in, by all means, send an email, support@cfrn.net, and be happy to help you figure that out. So I'm going to close out this show, take a break, be back 3 p.m. Eastern for the Coach's Corner. It is the weekend. Be sure to spend some quality time with your family. Of course, I'll see you all in church on Sunday. And thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.